welcome to a What a Night, part of the 90 Minute Podcast Network, where we talk all things Tottenham Hotspur. Joining me, Sean Walsh, as he does most weeks, is Jude Summerfield. Jude, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. Good. Most weeks.
lots of energy in that.
Lots of energy. Nah, I was just going to say, most weeks, or, you know, most months, as it turns out, more recently. But we're here. We're ready to chat some coins.
We're back, baby.
Yeah, how are you? We're back, baby. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, all right. Got over some really bad hay fever this morning. So, you know, felt like my eye was getting repeatedly stabbed. So much better now. Better now that you're here, Jude.
Well, thank God for that. I hope that, yeah, doesn't sound nice at all. I don't think I've ever really had hay fever, but it seems to get people pretty badly.
Yes.
Which
yes.
is tough.
So, some of you are a bit different.
Yeah, it's really tough. But,
Yeah, we were saying just before we started recording, we couldn't actually pinpoint the last time we recorded. We figured out it was just before Richarlison was announced, so we did like a little transfer update. So we thought we'd start this one with a fresh transfer update now that we actually have three more signings confirmed since then. So we will start with Richie, my guy Richie, who I said I'm the number one Richie fan, but wasn't expecting him to kind of set the world alight. I do think 60 mil is quite steep, but this is the market we're in. This is the world we're in now. This is the way that we're going to have to improve the team. But especially after, we'll touch on the friendlies in a little bit, but how do you feel about the signing now, Jude? How do you feel now that he's settled in, you know, he's hanging out with the team, he's settled his beef with Christian Romero?
Yeah. that was the one thing I was looking for. To be fair, as soon as he signed, I was like, oh, they better put out a little social clip of those two just hugging or whatever. And it was like, just friendly enough for it to be like, hey, and then like they walk away pretty quickly afterwards.
did you notice that there was a wider angle where it was like, you could see, I think it was Lo Celso and someone else in the back.
Oh, yeah.
And Doherty, I think it might have been Doherty as well or something, where they just kind of, they could see him going over to him and they were just kind of stopped. Like, oh my God, this is it. Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, see, just two hard nuts in the school cafeteria just about to go at it. I think it's a good signing still. Like, as you say, 60 mil is a bit steep if it reaches that. But it's proper squad depth now. And we've got, it's showing that, you know, we can move Lucas to right wing back because we don't have to play him as like the next guy on the wing. Like Richarlison, come and do that. And yeah, he's one of those, he's like a ratty player, and I like ratty players in teams, and I think he'll do good for Spurs. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I think this is just me just being on social media a lot, where people have tried to kind of dissuade me from my positive feelings about the deal, where they're saying, oh, Richarlison, he's not like a dribbler type, he's rough around the edges. And that's the angle I kind of had with Son last year. Like, I was accepting that he's pushing 30. I think he is 30 now. He had his birthday since we last recorded. And, you know, he's not the amazing dribbler he once was. He doesn't have the same kind of technique when the ball's close to him, but he's still a really good finisher. He still works hard for the team. He has those kind of attributes. And Richarlison's kind of the same. You know, he's not an amazing dribbler all the time. There are times where he can kind of get you off your seat, but there's been a lot of times so far this preseason when you notice he's not really able to trap a ball. But I'm fine with that. And I do think that, like I said, it's just me being social media a lot. I do know a lot of Arsenal fans, and Arsenal are kind of, they're so like enamored with technique and these kind of silky flair players, and, you know, the old saying, Arsenal just try and walk it in and all that. So I do realise that we're kind of the antithesis of that right now, which I kind of like, that we're not. We can play beautiful football. We have played a lot of beautiful football under Conte, but it's not, we're not all about those kind of technical players. We really just have Kane dropping deep, playmaking, and Bentancur running through the middle. And that's largely where the individual kind of flair comes from.
We've got Kulu being like a really weird,
we do
massive
Kulu,
guy,
yeah,
like just barging people over on the wing,
yeah,
and cutting onto his left foot.
It's a different kind. Isn't it? It's like when we had Dembele, like,
yeah, it actually
obviously
is
an amazing technical player, but what made him so unique was that this is the strongest guy I've ever seen, and that's why we need to kind of stop deluding ourselves into thinking that other midfielders can be like him, because it's so rare to find that kind of mix between grace and brute strength.
Yes, yeah. On Richarlison there, I get what you mean. He might not be the greatest dribbler or whatever, but I think it's nice that Spurs just have another player who will like sort of float around those areas and just be there to like just to finish chances. I know Kulu, I'm not expecting Kulu to score as many goals this season, I don't think. I think his assists will be really high, but like I think Richarlison might outscore him. I think he'll be the more obvious goal threat out of those two, I think. Which I just think is good to have that add a bit of depth. And then you've got Kulu for games where you need to like unlock the door a bit more, so to speak.
Yeah. Speaking of added depth, we did also sign Clement Longley on loan from Barcelona. And the general consensus was that this was not an amazing deal, not least because we have no leverage either way. Like if Longley is really good, then Barcelona can just demand a huge fee because we haven't agreed on with them. And if he's really bad, we can just kind of tank him from the squad. And that's just a useless kind of player that's there. And that's it. So yeah. I guess the hope is that he rediscovers his form at Sevilla and that Barcelona is just like this soul-sucking entity, which I'm not ruling out. I think there is a world where Longley's actually quite decent, especially in a back three, especially now that he might get a chance to start the season because of Ben Davies's ankle injury. So not hugely disappointed, but I'm very, very, very cautious with what might happen.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we'll talk about the preseason games a bit more, obviously, but Davies's replacement so far has been Sanchez, and seeing as Sanchez was trusted quite a lot towards the back end of last season, I think I would probably still expect him to get the nod on like the first day of the season. But yeah, hopefully Longley can recover a bit of that severe form. And I think we said at the time, I wasn't particularly sure. He played a few nice passes in that Rangers game, which I'm sure we'll get onto later. But
he did, yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, hopefully it's the back three disguising faults and weaknesses again, isn't it? So
we also got to remember, apparently. And you do back Conte to make a player better. I'm not one of those guys who's always like, oh, you got to back Conte in the transfer market because he's made a lot of kind of questionable calls in the transfer market. But at least when he does have the squad that he wants, he generally makes players better. And that's ultimately what a coach is about, not unlike our former coach, who we actually will discuss a bit later. And finally, our latest signing this window, hopefully not our last, we finally completed the signing of Jed Spence from Middlesbrough.
It was away with the parents for a second.
I was thinking of continuing, but I thought, no, I'll let Jude have this one, actually.
No, my mind just instantly went to there's, it's been like a little bit bitter, his exit from Barra, hasn't it? There's been some, like Chris Wilder said some stuff about Jed Spence's social media post not including Barra and things like that.
It was weird. It was because he worded it as if he's directly left Nottingham Forest for Spurs.
Yeah, and obviously don't get any cash from the deal because it was only a loan last season.
Yeah, so it's got nothing to do with him, really. Yeah, they signed the replacement.
The exit is sort of like he's, I don't know, just screwed over both teams in that sort of regard. But it's a good deal. Conte said it wasn't his deal.
Can I read out the specific quote that you said?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's quite interesting.
Yeah.
So it's just, so he said a lot, but this was the one line that really got me. So he says three sentences, but he emphasizes a lot that this wasn't his signing. So he said, Spence is an investment of the club. The club wanted to do it. I said, okay, this player is young, but he showed he can become a good, important player for us. The club decided to sign him. So, you know, just kind of tripling down that it wasn't his idea. But I think it's been reported a lot, especially by guys like Alistair Gold, where Conte isn't going to be forced to have players that he's not happy with. If Conte didn't want to sign Spence, Spurs wouldn't have signed Spence. So I think ultimately that is a thing, but it's just the way that he does get weird in press conferences like this sometimes, doesn't he? Like sometimes he just loses the message.
Yeah, it's an odd one as well because now there's three right back, right wing backs, and one of them's going to have to be shifted off somewhere, and that might mean, you know, an end to Emerson Royal compilation videos, which would be really sad. But then we'd still have the great like facial hair game from Matt Doherty, so that'd be fine. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, Jed Spence, he looked really sharp in those towards the back end, especially for Nottingham Forest last season.
Mm.
So yeah, fingers crossed that's a good one.
Yeah, we don't really have a player like him, do we? Because he's very, very, very quick. He's very gifted, fast. Technically. He's very fast.
Yeah.
A man that we'll talk about later again. but he's not... His delivery isn't amazing. His decision-making isn't amazing. But what we've generally heard from people who have watched him and have watched the Championship last season is that under the right coach, then these are kind of flaws that should be easy to iron out. That this is kind of the natural progression of a 21, 22-year-old wing-back. This is just what's going to happen. You're just going to have to kind of accept that. And I do understand the Middlesbrough fans in particular, they've been quite... You mentioned it earlier that the club has been quite bitter about the exit, but the fans have really said, oh, you know, he's not even that good. We have a better wing-back in Isaiah Jones and all that. And I do think that that's really clouded by the way that he left, but also Middlesbrough fans haven't looked at him up close for the whole year. The Spence that they sold was not the Spence that last played a game for Middlesbrough. So
yeah.
I wouldn't be too worried about what they say in that regard. I'd look more at what Nottingham Forest fans have been saying.
Yeah, and he was quite widely loved, and you know, Forest are going through a bit of a rebuilding phase and signing anyone and everyone at the moment.
Just the 25 signings, please.
Yeah, and I'm sure they would have loved him back. But yeah, it's good for us to nip in there. And it's good to see them going into the Championship, to be fair, because you can get real gems. And I think Premier League teams have shown that over the last few years. You can dip your toe in there and you can get a really good signing. Like over the next like 1 or 2 years, they can develop really, really quickly. And suddenly you've got like a Jared Bowen who's banging them in for West Ham or, you know, someone like that. So yeah, he's got a great squad to come to now, because this is obviously, it's quite a packed squad, and he should be able to learn quite a lot, like as a younger player and like his first Premier League season. I'm excited to see him back. That'll be good.
Yeah. I think you said that he should learn a lot from the squad, but I also think that he should come in and think that he has a chance of, if he works hard enough, that he should have a chance of playing a lot of games this year as well. Because I don't think that right wing back spot is particularly nailed down for one person. You know, I know, I think Emerson has started most of the games in pre-season so far there, but as we mentioned, Lucas has played there a little bit. We'll touch on that a bit later. Matt Doherty has played more from the left than he has from the right.
Mm-hmm.
And it does seem that Conte's just kind of trying to experiment a bit more. And I know Emerson was quite decent in some of the big games towards the end of last year, but Spence should feel like he has a chance to really impress Conte. I know we said this is Conte's decision to sign him ultimately, but you know, he's obviously going to feel a bit demoralised by what he said in that press conference. But then it should kind of, hopefully it's one of those things where he's trying to spur him on, like when he said after Burnley that, oh, I'm going to quit. The team's not good enough.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's the way that he wants to do it.
Yeah. None of those positional rivals are that far ahead of Spence at all. I don't think. It's sort of the same on the other flank as well, because there's, I know Sessegnon's played most of them, but Perisic will get his chances, and then it sort of looks like Reguilon might be the guy who gets shipped off. So I don't think any of those, either of those wing back spots are like nailed down for anyone. Spence has like I think it's probably a bit too late in pre-season for him now to like come in and start the first game. But like if he plays against Roma and plays well and then gets some cameos here and there, a lot of games in like the first few months of the season, it's sort of ridiculous. So you'll get opportunities to play and impress.
Yeah. Okay, let's quickly rattle through our three friendlies that we've played so far. We'll start with what seems like a lifetime ago now, when we played Team K League and won 6-3. We watched this together in the office, Jude. We had a great time watching this.
Oh yeah, we did. We did, didn't we? Oh, I completely forgot about that. Yeah. I forget about the actual real life office interactions we have every now and again. They're not that often anymore. Yeah, that was a bit of a crazy game, wasn't it? Sonny's homecoming. I think he got on the score sheet a few times.
Kane gave him the penalty just in case he didn't score any other time, and then he scored about a minute later anyway.
That's the one. Yeah, that's the one. But yeah, that was. It looked like stadium looked amazing from what I remember. The atmosphere was just sort of deafening whenever, you know, regardless of what team was sort of attacking. It was a bit weird because people were obviously cheering on Son and then cheering on Team Kaling. So like 9 goals and every single one was just like so ferociously celebrated. But yeah, it was sort of a similar Spurs team that we've seen, like starting 11 wise, and it took a while for them to get their first goal, I think. But Eric Dier ended up smashing one in, didn't he?
We couldn't really believe it.
Yeah, it was just like, oh, he's charging forward, like, oh, no one's closing him down.
Yeah,
shifted it to the left foot. He's just
don't mind if I do.
Yeah, I didn't know he had that in his locker, to be honest. Just. If that's Conte ball, mate, I want to see more of it. That specific move, just that one.
Conte's just in the dressing room. He's got the tactics ball. He's like, guys, what if we just move everyone out of the way? Like Moses passing the Red Sea. And Dier just runs through. And he scores with his weak foot from 20 yards. And everyone says, oh, it's genius.
It is genius. But you only get to use that plan once, unfortunately. Yeah. So
used it up in a friendly against Team K-League, so... Yeah. There goes the genius. And then what I think is the single worst part of pre-season so far was that Kane scored a deflected free kick, which means that he's now going to have the confidence to continue taking them for the next 20 years.
Yeah, this was awful. This was an awful, awful moment.
I didn't even realise it was deflected until I watched it back a few days ago, which is even worse. I didn't clock. I just thought it was just straight under the wall and in. Now it's deflected. Yeah. That makes it even worse because it's he's still going to be like, oh, it all counts, you know.
They do all count.
They do all count.
Yeah, and you watch like training videos of Son on free kicks, and it's quite clear which player is better with the dead ball.
Scored two in the international break recently, didn't he?
Yeah, when he absolutely just thumped them into the back of the net.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Kane scored like 2 free kicks for Spurs now, and they've both been deflected in sort of similar fashion.
I found it really weird as well. Do you not find it weird that he hasn't been able to master it? Because he always seemed like the kind of guy who you'd hear stories about would just stay behind at training for hours practicing free kicks. That seems like Kane's mentality to me. And I don't doubt that he hasn't been doing that, but it's just like, why haven't you been scoring them then? Why haven't you become close to scoring them?
I find it really odd that it doesn't... When he takes free kicks, you know, he's going for the whole sort of knuckle sort of thing.
Yeah.
And that's not like a technique he's ever like mastered outside of a dead ball, you know. He doesn't hit the ball like that. He just hits it like really true and really sweet, or, you know, in the game against Rangers, he just picks out a corner and can just curl it in. I don't know why he wouldn't just like just kind of curl it up and over. Just it seems so much like easier for a player of that ability to just, rather than do the whole like lottery of the knuckleball, just like take the free kick properly. But no, we've got to get swerve on everything now.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my Yadar rant about that.
Yadar corner.
Yeah, because it's silly. It's him or Dier on free kicks, isn't it?
Dier's at least scored a meaningful one where it was not deflected or anything. That Euros goal against Russia.
Did. Yeah.
I wasn't expecting. I was like sitting on like the sofa. And he just comes out of nowhere. I think I remember Guy Mowbray on commentary. He's like, Eric Dier smashes it. I'm just like, what the? It's like an earthquake. I was like, whoa, what the hell just happened?
He didn't take free kicks for Spurs at the time. So it was a bit of a like, oh, all right.
No, it was.
What is he doing? Oh, he smashed it. Amazing.
You know, Roy Hodgson set piece extraordinaire when he put Kane on corners as well. I actually do kind of get that, but I wouldn't have done it.
Kane's
it's just very hard. It's very hard. It's very hard to defend that, but I understand why he made that decision.
Yeah, I'm still not totally convinced, but it's been years. So
just 6 years that have passed.
Yeah, just we'll 6 years.
All right, okay. Anyway, moving on to the Sevilla game, which ended 1-1. A lot of it was made about coming up against Eric Lamela again, my hero, my mate. You know, it wouldn't have been a Spurs preseason without Lamela having a stormer, would it? He was okay. I didn't think he was amazing. I thought the really amazing thing was this was a really competitive, nasty game. This reminded me a lot of the Aston Villa game back in March, where they were just trying to kick lumps out of us. This was a friendly. And Lamella wasn't even at the tone setter. If anything, he was trying to defend the Spurs players. There's a lot of pictures of him defending players like Romero and Richarlison, who he's never even played with, from the rest of his Sevilla teammates who were trying to kick lumps out of him. My personal favourite highlight was when their right-back, Gonzalo Montiel, he's gone to try and take out Son, and he's missed completely. And instead, he's gone crashing into Son's elbow and got like a nosebleed or it's like mouth bleeding for it.
Oh, geez.
And then he tries to fight him after, and they're trying to fight down the tunnel, and that kind of ensues with madness. And then also some guy on Twitter saying, oh, yeah, Son, the ankle breaker, really had a go at Montiel, how dare you? And then some guy who I don't know replied with the gif of it happening. And it's just like, yeah, he's actually just, it's like he's just, it's like he's run into like a bar or something.
Ooh.
Like just, it's gross. Just really, yeah. But nasty. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can't, oh, that match did seem like an aggressive one, but I can barely remember it. Kulusevski had like a really good chance, I think. He might have.
Yeah, he scuffed it. He
had a little scuff.
Yeah.
Something like that. And then there was a bit, there was a shout for a Sevilla penalty as well at some point where they were all getting upset. It was probably an Emerson challenge or something like that. But yeah, I mean, 1-1 against Sevilla is a decent result, to be fair. You don't have to draw too many conclusions from it as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just nice to see Coco sort of showing his attacking stuff. Well, he hit like, he hit the post, right? I think.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he did. It was like a half volley, I think, wasn't it? Like it came to him from a corner or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's
the one. He just come across it and it's just like whacked Lloris's post.
Yeah, it's a lot of technique.
Would have been very fitting.
He didn't always show that much technique for Spurs, you know, Sean.
Only in preseason.
Only in preseason.
When it matters.
Only in preseason, yeah. This is Lamella's year, 100%.
Yeah. And then the other notable thing from this game was that it was toyed with in the K-League game, but Lucas actually started at right wing back and didn't look too uncomfortable. I thought he actually made some good defensive contributions. And, you know, obviously we brought Spence in, but do you think that this is a good option going forward?
Yeah, I think I'd prefer to see him back there now that Richarlison's been signed and there are a few more attacking options, even with like Perisic. I'd rather him like move into that front three than have Lucas up there. I actually think, like, you know, when Lucas goes on runs and he almost starts too up high up the pitch, so that by the time he's overrun it, like there's no chance of Spurs keeping the ball. But it, like when he was making these sort of runs in the Sevilla game and the Rangers game, it actually sort of looked like he knew when his work was done and then he was shipping the ball off. Do you know? If you know what I mean? So, like, he made his ground and then just knew to give the ball, which, you know, doesn't always happen with Lucas, having watched him for, like, 5 years. You know, he loves a cul-de-sac and just running into them. I feel like, why not? It might just be, like, his natural position and he might end up smashing it there. And I'd love that. I'm not sure that'll be the case. I'd love it. But yeah, I think it's a decent move.
I think that this is going to be a really handy option when we're playing teams who are that we're just kind of meant to be so much better than. Like if we're playing someone lower down the table in a cup game, and we can just, the best way to have as many attacking players on the pitch as possible is to have Lucas at right wing back. I think that's quite a useful way to use him. And I know a lot of people was pointing out, like, why didn't we experiment with it last year when Emerson was set up his depth? And I think someone pointed out, you know, Lucas had a full pre-season because he didn't go on international duty. There's probably been, Conte's probably worked with him quite closely on how to play in the role because he's been asked about it a couple of times. I think he's said, Lucas has said that he's happy to play wherever he's spoken with the manager about it. He's ready to do whatever it takes. So I understand why now is the time for it to be implemented. Like this is, you know, this is Conte building his squad. This is Conte building his, as he says, like 16, 17, 18 guys as opposed to 12 or 13 from last season.
I think the good thing about it as well is he wouldn't be a wing back who, you know, like some wing backs are best when everything's playing out in front of them. So they're like arriving onto the scene to score at the back post or something. But if he was playing out there, he would have that like dribbling quality 1v1. to sort of make it count in those games, playing against teams, you know, like you say, like FA Cup games or teams lower in the division or something like that, just to like beat a man, and then that's another creative and attacking outlet. So yeah, it's nice. It's good inventive stuff. So, you know,
yeah,
it's good fun.
Mm. Yeah. Just quickly before we leave the South Korea tour of the South Korea portion of this podcast, there was that viral video of the players doing the, like, it was the training drill, wasn't it, with our ex-Marine coach, and doing the whole laps of the pitch, like back to back, and just everyone collapsing and throwing up. And I don't want to say it's nice to see, but I do think it was notable that Kane, who's been here under Poch and still like holds Poch in high regard, that he did come out and say afterwards, this is probably the fittest I've been.
Mm. Yeah, it's terrific. I find it hilarious, those videos, man, where like the coaches are sort of watching the players crumble onto the floor, and you can just see they're smiling. They're just like, this is absolutely jokes.
Yes, we've broken them.
We have absolutely broken them. Yeah, but like a fit Kane, start of the season. Because he had it really bad at one point, didn't he? He had like a big towel on his head. He was trying to keep cool. I think him and Son were sort of struggling. But Spurs need to be that sort of aggressively fit team. I think we've chatted about that before. If they're not going to have like, you know, the pristine quality of Liverpool or City. So I agree. I think it is good to see. And I just hope, you know, there haven't been any long-term lasting effects from it, because it did look pretty brutal. Like,
it did.
I think one of those sprints up that pitch would probably have knocked me for six, and I wouldn't have done anymore. Would not have fancied anymore.
Yeah, I know. I would have given up. I'd just be like, you know, he's like, if you're just shouting at me in Italian or whatever, and they're just like, oh, you're weak, you're soft. And I'm just kind of laying there like, you know what, maybe I am. Maybe I just want to sit down. Maybe I don't want to do this running.
I'm a cockroach, sir. what is it, Lou? Who says? I'm a cockroach. Because I haven't got the will to win.
Don't want it enough.
I just don't want it.
Okay. Anyway, moving on to our final friendly that we've played so far. We beat Rangers 2-1 at Ibrox for the Waltershall Memorial Cup. We'll be sticking that in the trophy cabinet, won't we, Jude?
Yes, we will. We'll be sticking it very firmly in there. Is it? No, we don't. Massive.
No, we dance on the streets of Tottenham Hotspur tonight.
You were at the open top bus parade, weren't you? It was a great time.
I was the driver.
I was the driver.
I can't drive. Not,
I thought there'd be a bigger turnout, but apparently not. But yeah,
thank you all for coming.
Yeah. I think I kind of think this is the best test that out of the three games they've had so far, I think this is the best sort of test that they've had.
This was Rangers' last friendly, because they start their league season this weekend and they have a Champions League qualifier next week. So this was like their last real. And they beat West Ham 3-1 in the week leading up to it. So
yeah, man, like they're no mugs. Yeah, obviously got to the Europa League final last season as well. It's a good team, and sort of full of fellas who brought the best out of Spurs in the end, I think. That Rabi Matondo on the right wing looked a really, really good player.
Yeah, very, very quick, very dangerous.
Gave very quick, very dangerous, very important. Please fast. Yeah, he gave Sessegnon a bit of grief for that first goal, didn't he? He just sort of skinned him and put it on a plate for their striker. But all throughout, it seemed like Spurs sort of had the upper hand and another gear that they could maybe go to, even though it was only 2-1 in the end. They created a lot of chances, and there are a few that they didn't put away, which were absolutely criminal. Like,
like the Højbjerg one was unbelievable. I couldn't believe. I just terrible. If that was a competitive game, I'd be losing my mind about that. But it wasn't. So
yeah, he got a little better as the game went on, but there was still some nice moves that were being created. Like, there was a Davinson Sanchez back heel as well, which upsets him at one point, I think. Which is good jokes. That would have been assist of the season sorted right there. But yeah, I think there are a lot of hallmarks to like a good Spurs performance in that game. Like Romero was very, very aggressive at the back. There are a few like last ditch blocks and challenges that they made, which were, you know, good to show this commitment, you know, that they all talk about. And then when they pressed, I thought they nicked the ball quite a lot. Kulusevski seemed to get possession back quite a lot. And then they had the star quality to get the win with two lovely goals, didn't they?
Yeah, star quality. And Rangers fans clapped off the star quality, didn't they? Which I found really weird.
I don't get the traditions of the Rangers folk, Sean. I don't want to start a fight with anyone. I didn't understand it.
That's a lie.
Always up for a scrap. I didn't get it, but you know, it's kind of nice, you know. Not appreciation. Bit of
appreciation for us, you know. Yeah. Yeah, don't get that down here. Yeah.
We don't get no respect. We don't get no respect down here.
Exactly. You know, if Rangers want to join the Premier League, that's their business.
That is their business. I just hope they don't think it's like a, you know, like the Ronaldo situation where he went to Juventus and scored that overhead kick and then got clapped off and then was like, I want to go to Juventus. Just hope Rangers don't think they're going to like nab Kane's son next summer. I don't think that's going to, just because he got clapped off in pre-season friendly.
Kane at Rangers. I don't not see that.
Seen Stevie G at Rangers. I can see it. Yeah.
Yeah. Defoe's there. Defoe gave out the trophy.
Defoe's on the coaching staff now. He'll probably be in his ear about going.
That's big news. He's coming back to Spurs as an academy coach, I think he is. And Yaya Touré.
Him and Yaya Touré
is as well. Yeah. That's proper FM, isn't it?
That's so
I'm going to sign all these big players to my backroom staff. I'm not looking at their attributes. I wouldn't be named.
We're in 2034 now, the 34-35 season. That's where we're at.
That was fun. But yeah, nice competitive game. We'll get on to our final preseason game in a minute. But first, just quickly, a bit of a loan update where Troy Parrott and Dane Scarlett, two of the best academy players that have come through in recent years, both have secured loan moves for the upcoming season. Parrott's gone to Preston in the Championship. Scarlett's gone to Portsmouth in League One. I think these are generally good moves. They definitely needed loans. As much as, you know, Scarlett was on the bench last season, as much as Parrott has been, you know, lively in pre-season, they needed proper game time this year. They really, really needed that game time.
Yeah, 100%. And I think the levels for their moves are just about right as well. I mean, Dane Scarlett's still a pretty young lad, and going into League One will probably be a pretty stern challenge, but like, he's a very talented player, so be interesting to see how he gets on there. And then Parrott's at Preston, isn't he? And he's just come off a decent campaign the last time out, I think. Mm.
Okay, Don. Someone pointed out as well that Preston have quite a large Irish contingent, so that should help him there.
That is good. Hopefully they... It is quite funny that, you know, I suppose Richarlison brings added depth, but I thought maybe one of those two as young players might just be kept around just to sort of, you know, shadow some of those more experienced attacking players this season. But yeah, like you say, it would probably be much more valuable than going out playing like 30, 40 games this season and trying to get a good like goal record behind them. So, they should work out quite well. 90 men favourite, Troy Parrott.
Yeah, I think Scarlett especially, I think Scarlett especially needed to go because he needed men's football. Like, it's all well and good of like getting these big quotes off Mourinho and Nuno and Conte and whatever, saying that he's a really good prospect. But I need to at some point see him scoring goals in games that really matter. And I think it's good as well. Like, I'm not sure about Preston, but Portsmouth are, they're going to be fighting for promotion in League One. So he's going to have a lot of responsibility. He's going to have a lot of pressure to kind of deal with. So hopefully that's a really good experience for him. And finally, what we've all been waiting for, Jude, we can look ahead to a reunion with Jose Mourinho when we take on Roma in Israel on Saturday. Are you looking forward to it?
I'm so looking forward to it, mate. It'd be great to see his big cheesy grin and his new tattoo with his trophy on his arm. So I think it'll be a good game to watch. I could say Mourinho have some famous needle in the past. So that there could be some fireworks on the touchline. Conte called him a little man before, didn't he? At some point, yeah. And then there was that whole Chelsea United game where it kicked off, which was quite jokes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Conte, one of only two men to beat Mourinho in a cup final. So,
oh yeah, of course. Yeah. But yeah, we'll see. That's Spurs' last pre-season game before the Prem starts properly, isn't it? So we've got this Roma game in Israel on Saturday, and then Southampton on the first weekend. Hopefully I think Spurs have performed pretty well over preseason. I expect they'll be pretty on the front foot in that Roma game too. There are a few little angles for them as well, because they've just signed Paulo Dybala, so
I was going to say there's a lot of narrative. There's more than just the Mourinho narrative here.
I know, there's so much going on. It's ridiculous. It's like they could be starting a front three of Zaniolo, Dybala, and Tammy Abraham, and suddenly you look at it and think that's quite tasty.
Zaniolo a target for Spurs as well right now. So
yeah, exactly. So there's a lot going on. Of course, Chris Smalling playing against. Against an old English team. We'll see. And like it should be an entertaining game.
I'm looking forward to it. It's if anything, just it could be really silly. So I'm looking forward to that at least. And whenever the press conferences are, I'm expecting Mourinho to make a trophy dig and talk about Daniel Levy sacking him again. And I'm expecting Conte to say something like, at least we're in the Champions League or something like that. I really hope he says something like, I did what he was meant to do in 2 years, or I undid all of his bad work and we got to the Champions League. let's be honest, like a lot of the fitness issues in the squad started when Mourinho came and just had no idea how to work a modern pressing system. Yeah, so I really hope there's some, not even indirect, just Conte just saying, yeah, it's his fault. I'm really hoping for that.
I mean, this is for some sort of, it is for a preseason trophy, isn't it? So there will be some.
Is it?
I assume so. I think it's cool. Yeah, what is it? It's the ITEC Cup. Either way, whoever wins, well, you've got Spurs picking up another preseason trophy after the one at Rangers, or you've got Mourinho parading one around against the team you got sacked by. It'll be a fun evening.
I'm going to get a tattoo of this as well.
But a full-size one on my back, you know, so you can just take off the shirt and then just give the thumbs in the back and be like, I'm here.
can't rule it out.
Can't rule it out. Absolutely can't rule it out.
No.
But... And then we'll have transfer deadline day in the start of the Prem soon, won't we? We're all kicking off.
Not until the end of the month for transfer deadline, remember? They changed it.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Thank God.
Thank God. Well, that's only going monthly, so still more to go. Yeah.
I imagine we'll do a preview for the season next week. I do actually have some rambunctious predictions for the season ahead. I don't want to spoil it.
No spoilers.
We're doing an article for 90 Min where we do our predictions, and I'm still kind of toying with the order of the top six, when I'm quite torn on where to put us, because I am high on the business we've done. I back the team, especially in a full season under Conte. And yeah, you've always got to prepare for some bullshit to happen during the season.
I'm still
trying to figure out how much to go on that and how much to go with my gut and what it just looks like to stay a play. Because, for example, I think that from from saying it today on July 28th, if we go to Stamford Bridge on the second win of the second weekend of the season and lose, I think that's a travesty. From this, from the sitting where I am now, that is a joke. If we do not, if we come away from that and we lose, what is going on?
Yeah, no, I get it. I guess if you look at it through that sort of lens, yeah, that's very, very true. Because they're a bit of a disaster right now, and you'd really hope, like Spurs being arguably as strong as they have ever been in like the last 10, 20 years, so they can go there and win.
Can they do it now? Oh no.
But no, it's just no. But, Spurs at Stamford Bridge. That they
this is what I mean. This is what I mean. You got it's never logical thinking with this thing. So you know, you've got to factor it in.
No.
Yeah.
Although Spurs losing at Stamford Bridge is very logical.
True.
It's just
That's just football logic, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, heritage.
Football heritage. Yeah. I think we covered everything for this week. Considering we haven't done it in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we whittled through that. Yeah.
Well,
excellent job, sir.
Nice one. Done that well. Just the 3 weeks off.
Nice one. Like another month off now.
Yeah. See you guys next season. All right, cool. Thank you for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed. We will be back next week for a season preview. Book that in, Jude. Do it now.
Right, it's booked in.
You could bring your dinner as well, mate.
What?
Sorry, I just slipped.
Yeah.
Thanks, yeah. Okay, thanks for listening. Please like and subscribe and leave a rating. And yeah, we'll see you next week on your Spurs.